And I feel like all the drunk memes are after brunch. Like, they coming out of brunch all drunk and shit. And tipsy and just live their best life.
I really
want
to hit that omelet bar. You know how there's the omelet bar at the brunch?
Mm-hmm.
Buffets.
Buffets are fucked. Yeah.
I really want to go to a salad bar and make a big-ass, good-ass salad. So, yeah, there's that.
Maybe I'll have a salad bar at my house.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make your dreams come true. How was your week?
Well, let's see. I went to the lab to get my blood drawn. They took like 85 vials of blood out of me. And then they called me back like within not an hour. I think it was like an hour. Because my appointment went, I had to get a mammogram because it's that time and I'm that age. So I had to go get a mammogram. Got my boobs smashed. And then I went and got my blood drawn. And so I guess while I was driving home, they called me and was like, they left a message because I didn't hear my phone ring. And so the next day I saw that I had a message and I checked it. And they told me to call, you know, the doctor's office told me to call them. So I called them and she's like, yeah, you need to go to the emergency room.
Oh my God.
She's like, your hemoglobin is 6 and it should be at least 11. And I'm like, so am I just supposed to walk up into the emergency room and be like, I need blood? Like, what am I supposed to say?
Give me blood, man.
She's like, well, just tell them that your hemoglobin is low and you need to, they can decide what they're going to do. So I call mom. I'm like, I have to go to the emergency room. So mom took me into the emergency room and sat in the emergency room. Basically, they drew more blood, 4 more fucking vials. Of a little blood. I'm like, well, if my shit is low, you taking all my blood. Like, what the fuck? I'm going to die. Like, apparently I've been on the verge of dying for, like, years.
Oh, my God.
Because the last time I had my blood drawn and the hospital in 2017, I had made an appointment for, like, around my birthday. So I made an appointment and I went and they drew my blood. And they called me and they were like, so, yeah, your iron is super low. You need to be taking iron and you need to take it twice a day. But nobody said how many milligrams to fucking take. And so at the emergency room, he's like, it's going to take like 2 to 4 hours to type and cross you and to make sure there's no transfusion reaction. So you're going to be here and you're right at the level. So at a 7 is when they are like, you need, below 7 is where they're like, we need to give you a transfusion. Mm-hmm. I was at 6.7 in the hospital. And he was like, so you have, you can go home if you really want to, or you can stay and wait, you know, the 2 to 4 hours, blah, 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 blah. Mom was like, what would you do? He's like, I would go home. He's like, you're just right there at that. Your levels have gone up since yesterday. So you can go home, eat some iron rich foods and, you know, see if you have symptoms, come back. So the symptoms are like heart palpitations, shortness of breath. Headaches, things like that. All of which I've had, by the way.
You've been having this.
I didn't realize that's what they were symptoms of.
Well, shit.
But I had been having this before I went to the doctor. Before, I've been having these symptoms for months.
Okay, so that's what's wrong with you.
Right. So I've been having palpitations. I've been having, like if I move over, like, if I do something, like, real quick, my heart starts racing. And it's like, and I feel it and I hear it in my ears. Then it slows back down. Like right now, my heart rate is at 105.
Is that normal?
Resting heart rate should be between 60 and 90. And mine is at 105. So I know that it's high. Well, now it's gone down to 100. See, I'm glad
it's
I have
when you
this
get
watch.
Excited and you start talking and you get all like.
Well, if I'm like sitting at home, like on the bed watching TV, it'll get to like 85. I am trying to get my iron up and produce hemoglobin, so I'm trying to eat, you know, all iron-rich foods, and they didn't say I couldn't drink, so...
It's not like alcohol messes with your iron or anything, so cheers. Thank you for being... Look, we're glad you're with us still, Brandon.
But yeah, apparently I have half of the amount of blood in my body that I'm supposed to have.
Do you think it's due to, like, your heavy cycle?
Yeah, because, like, that ended last week, like, before I went to, that ended on Monday, actually, and I went to, cycle ended Monday, had blood drawn Wednesday, so that's how my week went, me fucking stressing out about I'm gonna die, and, all that stuff. So how was your week?
Not nearly as exciting as yours was. My week was good. I finally cut all my hair off.
I want to.
So this is 2021 bald bitch in the house. Going bald.
2021 bald bitch.
2021 bald bitch.
Bald bitch 2021.
I always cut my hair around my birthday, and this year is the year of bald Sunny. So it's on like Donkey Kong. So that's about it, man. Like, just getting through this fucking week. We did the switcheroo last week, so that was cool. Thank you guys all for listening and partaking and, you know, being there. But I'm just getting my backyard in order because it's really springtime. So I've just been really out there getting jiggy with it. Planted my tomatoes and, you know, just doing my thing, planting seeds and watching things grow. And, oh, dude, we're here. I'm just happy we're here. Happy we're here, and you guys are here too, and I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I am on the verge of death.
Oh, and this is Book of Lies. The podcast.
It's Bolt, bitches.
Like I said before, Brandy, I'm happy you're here. I'm happy you're not dead. Pray for us. Pray for her. And thank you for being here. Thank you to all the listeners. Hello, hello. Thank you for being here again. Thank you for listening. Subscribe if you're not already. Come back, follow, do the things. Leave us a review. And visit our website, bookofliespodcast.com. And you can learn more about us, listen to our previous episodes, check out our collaborations and all that whatnot. And you could also join us on Patreon. We definitely need your support. So visit patreon.com/bookofliespodcast and the link's in the show notes also. So for $2, you could join us here, get some stickers, get a shout out, get love letters. I'm told by our patrons that my love letters are the best. So I'm not trying to, you know, yeah, I am.
Toot your own horn.
Toot my own horn, but toot toot. Mm. Okay. And thank you to our current patrons, KT, OT, Ken, and Kathleen. We love you guys. Thank you. And Brandy, what are we going to talk about today?
I almost forgot. Shit.
It affects your memory, too.
It might. It, like, it makes you cranky and fucking you fatigue and all that shit.
So that's what's wrong with you, girl.
So we're talking today about some fucking some shit. Have you heard of WeWork?
Yes.
You know what WeWork is?
I feel like it's a website or a platform or a market. I have no idea what it is.
Okay. Back in like 2015 or so, when I was like actively job searching, I saw an ad for WeWork. They were hiring or they were renting out space for freelancers. They were looking for freelancers to rent space. So what? Space sharing, co-working environment where you can go and you can rent a desk or an office.
Got it.
And that is your workspace until, I guess, your lease is up or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the downfall of WeWork. And today's sources are the documentary on Hulu WeWork, or the making and breaking of a $47 billion unicorn.
Shit.
An article called Her Search for Enlightenment Fueled WeWork's Collapse. And that was, on Bustle, written by Mo Kasik. And The Atlantic article called WeWork's Adam Neumann is the Most Talented Grifter of Our Time. And that was written by Derek Thompson, who is also in the documentary. So the documentary opens with a scene of Adam Neumann trying to film a video for his IPO release, which is supposed to happen the next day. And immediately I find him super annoying. He's from Tel Aviv, Israel. Mm-hmm. He has an accent and he's supposed to be this charming, charming guy. But all I get from him is really a person that I wouldn't want to be around or interact with. Like, that's what I get from him when I hear him talk, when I hear him speak. He's really annoying. He's stumbling over his words and then he's joking around, but he's not filming any of the video, which is supposed to, you know, it's supposed to accompany his IPO release for the, they call it the 2 weeks at the beginning of an IPO release is called a roadshow. So he has to have a video. That's just what happened when your company is going public. So it's showing him, you know, he's talking and he's like, he's really pontificating and I just don't fucking like him. Okay, so he founds WeWork with another guy who is a real estate developer. Shit, I forgot what that guy's name is. But he's more like a silent partner. So they don't really talk about him much. His name is Miguel something. He's a real estate guy. So he founds WeWork. And again, it's an office space sharing, you know, co-working business. And essentially what their business is real estate. He buys buildings, sections them off, puts desks in, puts offices in, and then rents the space.
Okay.
That's what it is, right?
Okay.
But they're putting on this veneer of being a tech company because they're offering this space, but they're also trying to build a community is what he's, how he puts it. They're trying to build a community. They're trying to change the way people interact. And he wants people to, you know, you're co-working and, the claim the company makes is that they want to elevate the world's consciousness.
Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Those words are meaningless.
I mean, if you say elevate the world's consciousness, so are you saying that we're not paying attention? Like,
my question is this. You say you want to elevate the world's consciousness by doing what? Hmm. How are you going to go about it? Not by renting desks to people. What else are you doing? So basically, he created this cult-like environment. Ooh. That's basically what it became. So he's married to a woman who also, fucking surprise, surprise, Rebecca fucking Paltrow.
Is she a Paltrow?
Cousin of Gwynny.
Oh.
They're really close cousins. Rebecca is concerned with enlightenment. She studied yoga with the fucking Dalai Lama and meditation. And she went to India to meditate in front of the Dalai Lama. And she's a member of the Kabbalah Center. And she's, you know, studying, I was going to say Kundalini Yoga, not Kundalini Yoga, that other yoga, Jivamukti Yoga.
Jivamukti.
Yes. She's, you know, so she wants to be a yoga instructor. And at one point, she studies yoga under Uma Thurman's brother. And because he's a yoga.
I'm
a
yogi over person. All this incestuous
right. It's really
stuff,
fucking like
it.
It's gross, right? So there, you know, there are these types of people. She grew up with a bunch of money and she grew up in this little bubble of people that have money who don't realize that everybody doesn't have money. And so just like her cousin, she's really fucking obnoxious.
Maybe oblivious?
That too. Okay, so when they met, she was an aspiring yoga instructor, and at some point she tried to become an actress. Really wasn't in anything that anybody knows. I looked up her IMDb. There's like 5 things on there, and none of them are anything.
Rebecca Paltrow?
Yes.
Okay.
Now it's Rebecca Newman. But I think on IMDb it's Rebecca Paltrow Newman. Eventually, once they start WeWork, she writes a short film, and she gets Rosario Dawson and Sean Lennon to star in it with her via her, you know, Kabbalah, Jivamukti people. They managed to, you know, get them to star in this movie with her. There's all of these clips of him telling people how that when they first met, she told him, you know, you're full of potential, or you have a lot of potential, but you're full of shit. And that everything he says is fake and that he needs to go after his passion. And if he chases his passion or finds his passion and starts a business with his passion, then he can't go wrong.
With your passion.
Right. When he came to this country, because he's from Israel, when he came to this country, he had an idea for a company called Crawlers with a K. And their slogan was, just because they don't tell you doesn't mean they don't hurt. The idea was for these padded pants with knee pads for babies that were crawling. Because why would babies need fucking knee pads when they've been crawling just in diapers for years and years and years and years and years and thousands of years? Like, people have been on this planet longer than your little idea for fucking padded pants, and they've been fine. So, you know, he comes up with a lot of ideas, but he doesn't really follow through on them, you know, like that crawlers thing, obviously it wasn't a good idea because babies don't need that shit. And that's the kind of shit that, you know, rich people would buy just because they had money to spend. But regular, you know, fucking Tom, Dick, and Harry's aren't going to fucking buy that shit. So he then comes up with this idea for, he calls it a capitalistic kibbutz. You know what a kibbutz is.
A kibbutz?
Yeah. It's basically like a commune. A bunch of people in the same space. Okay. Because he grew up living on communes. So it's, you know, basically he creates, comes up idea for this co-working environment. And he says it's no longer just the idea of me, it's we. So he calls it WeWork. And he says the idea is to have all of these people from different companies sharing ideas and helping each other. It's supposed to change the world. That's what he kept saying, was change the world. He hires his first employee and he tells her, I want to be open and full in 3 weeks. So he wants the building open. And I don't know how many floors are on this building, but it's a bunch because they're in New York.
Oh,
so shit. It's a high-rise building, and he wants that building to be completely leased out to offices, I mean, to entrepreneurs, freelancers, you know, startups, within 3 weeks' time. And they had only had half of the building done by then.
What year is this?
2010. And apparently they make it happen. They start, you know, getting a bunch of companies in their buildings. The companies that they had mentioned, like, there were, you know, I guess these startups, these owners, I Googled some of them. They don't exist anymore. They're failed startups. One was called brunchcritic.com. That's why I was like, oh, I want to have brunch. I Googled it. It doesn't exist. But there is a YouTube. I mean, there is a an Instagram. So, you know, he wants to create a culture. And the culture is kind of like, you know, like the startups, the Silicon Valley startups. He's in New York, so he wants to make his company like the Silicon Valley of New York. He believes that by having startups begin in WeWork space in New York, that he can create the next Silicon Valley in New York.
I think that's very difficult. That's a nice aspiration, but Silicon Valley.
Yes. And so, you know, there are people like in New York that they have ideas too. But again, I Googled them. They're not there. They don't exist. So, I mean, some of the people that worked in there, of course, their businesses are working because they were working also with WeWork to like as jobs. Like there's a party planner guy that his business is thriving. There's another guy that he's a tech guy. He has like bots and like he comes into play when we learn about what's actually going on within the company of WeWork. But otherwise, yeah, like most of them don't exist anymore. So they start throwing these events, company events, and it's for members. The people that rent their spaces are called members. Mm-hmm. So it's for members and it's for employees of WeWork. And he throws this event. It's called Summer Camp. Rebecca Paltrow's aunt owns a summer camp in Connecticut or somewhere like that. And so they have this access to this camp. So he was like, I want to throw this event. So the guy that I'm talking about, the event planner guy, mm-hmm. they pull off this big ass fucking summer camp thing. They fucking have survival skills, wakeboarding, inner tubing, and there's booze galore.
That sounds fun.
Meanwhile, the company members, the people working for the company, are required to attend these like lectures and seminars and shit that are all put on by Adam Newman, mm-hmm. the owner. They're like 8 hours long.
No.
And they're at night.
Nope. I'm going to sleep.
So it's the seminars. Adam and Rebecca are just doing a whole bunch of yoga speak, saying a bunch of words that don't mean shit. Fucking just like, oh yeah, we're going to create a culture where, you know, we're elevating the world's consciousness. By doing this, we're going to be able to change things. We're going to be able to solve problems like children in abusive homes. And I'm thinking, how? What exactly is the change that you're making to the world that you're going to solve the problem of children coming from abusive families?
Yeah.
Please explain.
Hurt people. You're going to stop people being hurt?
I need an explanation. I need to understand how you plan to do this because It sounds like you're just saying words, but you're not actually doing anything. It's gobbledygook,
and people like to fucking talk the talk.
Oh my God,
and not walk the walk.
The people they had in these spaces and the people they had working for them ate it up.
I bet.
It was like a cult.
Yep.
And at one point, there was this lawyer guy. His name was Don Lewis. They went to, you know, he had another seminar event at some fucking hotel or something. And there was I think it was a janitor that was, he was working, or an usher or something. He said it was an older black guy. And the guy was like, so what's it, you know, he was like, oh, what kind of company is it? What do you guys do? What is the company about? And by the end of the conversation, he looked at him, he was like, is this a cult? So, you know, it's that type of shit where it's like you say a whole bunch of words, they don't mean anything. Like if you told me, oh yeah, my company is trying to elevate the world's consciousness, I'd be like, what does that mean?
It's because a lot of people don't know what it means and they are trying to, you know, mm-hmm. fit in and not seem stupid
yeah.
and not ask any questions and just go along for the ride. But guess what, bitch? My hand is up. What does that mean?
Just like with Scientology, we're trying to clear the world. What does that mean?
Of what?
What does it mean?
They love to talk and confuse you. And, like, honestly, that's why I'm such a skeptic now. Like, anytime someone has something to say, I'm always like this. Like, get to what you want.
Like, what are you talking about?
What do you want and what are you talking about?
They end up, you know, packing their offices. They appear to be super successful. Adam decides, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this with the way people live. So he starts another space sharing venture called We Live, where, guess what? People are now living together in communal settings. That he rents, you know, he does this big building renovation. People have these shared spaces. Of course, there's a shared, like, you know, kitchen and, you know, everybody has their own, like,
is
room.
Is it crazy cheap or something?
No. And the people, okay, so the people that are doing this, that are staying in the We Live place, most of them are already employees at WeWork.
So maybe they get an employee discount?
I'm guessing they probably didn't have to pay to live there.
Okay.
Because they weren't paid very well, like, at WeWork. He was like, they basically weren't being paid the same rate of whatever the job is that they were doing at another company, because he was like, you are being offered, you have stock options, so you're going to take less pay, but you have stock options.
which you can't even swap or sell or share until they're fully vested. So you have to wait 5 years.
And what is the stock option? Like, you're not a public company. So what is the stock option?
Trickery.
Yeah. So he's telling people this. And, like, you know, it's a bunch of kids. It's a bunch of millennials. They're all in their 20s.
You're a millennial. And no, they're not in their 20s.
Oh, this is in 2010.
This is in 2010.
And
okay. I was like,
they're in their
20s.
And I'm not a millennial. I am a Gen Zer. I mean, Gen Xer.
Yeah, Gen Z. Get out of here.
They, you know, they don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Exactly. They're just like this, wow.
Yeah.
I'm so inspired. I have no idea what this motherfucker said.
Right. So he's fucking basically mind raping them. Ugh. With all of his gobbledygook. And I'm not going to pay you $30,000 a year. I'm going to pay you $22,000 and you have stock options.
Nope. I need my money.
So...
You could go ahead and say, I will decline the stock and I will take the pay. You know, give me an extra $8,000, please.
That would be nice,
give
right?
me 30 at least, something.
Yeah. Okay, so they do that. That's how the employees are being compensated. But they do have all these people that are renting this space. So they seem to be profitable. The way that they managed to start the company was that she, you know, Rebecca comes from money. So they had gotten $1 million from her father when they got married, and they had put that away to start a company.
Whose daddy's been giving up $1 million on, like,
the Paltrows?
Yeah, because it's like, okay, you know, here's your inheritance or your dowry.
The money was supposed to be for a down payment on an apartment for them in New York.
I mean, that's great, but I think that's the 1% who, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. come on. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got married? Hit me with that $1 million. Mm-hmm. Thanks, daddy. We going on vacation. We're going on trips. We're buying houses. This is how these fucking rich people do it. I'm not mad at you. Actually, I am mad at you. But if you...
I'm not mad at you, but actually I am.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that life. I don't know what that's like.
Well, neither do I. So, they had got $1 million from him. They also are getting money from her other family members that are investing in their company because, of course, you know, it's a startup and they invest in. And so all the people, like, it's basically
the first investors were all people, mostly people, I won't say all, mostly people that she knew.
Friends and family.
Their founder also, you know, he had money and put money into the company. And I'm guessing maybe he had other investors as well. Mm-hmm. Mostly their dad, like, it's, you know, coming from her network. But they're acquiring buildings because they, you know, they have their headquarters. There's WeWork headquarters. Mm-hmm. And then they have to acquire other buildings to get more people to rent spaces and desks and whatnot, right? But Rebecca's father, Bob Paltrow, is dirty.
Oh, yes.
So he owns a junk mail distributor company. So, you know, those flyers that you get in the mail, all those fucking newspapers and fucking
like, oh my God.
And all
this stuff. Can we just put a pin in this right now? You hear about Jen Shaw from Salt Lake City?
What happened?
Bitch got arrested. Because they're like, bitch, you're running a Ponzi scheme. Because did you watch a reunion at all? Mm-hmm. How they were like, what do you even do? She's like, oh, I created this algorithm that connects the customers with the advertisers or some shit. Apparently, she's doing data collection and she's collecting information from like seniors and like people that are at like a certain age. And then she's selling it to fraudsters and then they are manipulating them. So, like, she's a part of, like, a bigger scheme. And they arrested her ass last week.
What?
Yas. Jen Shaw, Salt Lake City housewife.
Oh.
The I'm Queen Bee and MVP is going to jail. J-A-I-L. I couldn't get that to rhyme.
Yeah.
But, uh-huh.
The pokey.
You didn't hear that? Go ahead and I'm going to look
it up. I haven't heard it. But,
yeah, she's going to jail. She's probably not going to jail, but she got arrested.
Yeah, well, he owns a junk mail company, so they put out, you know, circulars and all that, mm-hmm. all the trash mail that you get in the mailbox and throw away.
Jen Shaw says she's learned who her true friends are after arrest.
So his money, that company is the company that he's, you know, made all of his money off of. He was using his company. He started a fake charity called the American Cancer Research Inc., and he was putting out circulars, you know, for donations for people, you know, to donate to cancer research. Well, he was getting money from those. And the money that he was getting from those was not going to cancer research. It was going into his pocket.
I thought so. Son of a bitch.
And he also was, he had another company that he used. Basically, he was using all the money that he was getting to fund his lavish lifestyle. Fund their lavish lifestyle. She was spending summers in fucking, you know, other countries and whatnot. And it was because he was stealing money from his company. So he managed to go to prison for 6 months. Because only 6 months.
Paltrow?
Uh-huh. Bob. Okay, so yeah. Bob, he went under investigation by the IRS. He started a fake charity and he was funneling money that he collected through that charity as well as through his junk mail company to fund their lifestyle. He ends up going to prison for 6 months, but that's another story. So in 2016, they reach a valuation of $1.6 billion. That's what they call a unicorn. A unicorn is a business or a company that is worth more than $1 billion.
Okay, multi. Listen, when I was working for Deluxe, they were having me like search for these types of companies. Like they were calling them elephants. And it's like, they're not all over the fucking place. No. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the ones that are already out there that we already had relationships with, you know, like Disney and shit. Like, mm-hmm. Come on, stop it.
No, I'm sorry. In 2013, they reached $1.6 billion valuation. 2016, they reached $16.9 billion. Dollar valuation. Damn. And in 2019, they reached a valuation of $47 billion.
And is this based off the office space and the rentings?
This is based off of the amount of interest they had from investors. Okay. People were throwing money at this company.
Okay.
They're throwing like, money.
Let us in.
They had Ashton Kutcher as an investor.
Ooh.
But Adam is also kind of a dickhole. He manipulated his employees and he would say things like, and he would like stand in the middle of the office and say, I can fire all of you and do all this by myself.
Okay, well then do it, you son of a bitch.
He had this one chick who was his assistant and then she moved from being his assistant to some other position, a higher position in the company.
And she said that he was doing her review and they were in one of the glass offices. And he was like, you're doing a really good job. And then some bitch walks by and he's like, but you're not her. He's like, you could be her, but you don't have the confidence that she does. So then the girl goes home and she's scrutinizing herself, trying to figure out, well, how can I be like her? Because the girl, she said, was like peppy and happy and, you know, and I'm just thinking, what kind of fucking boss says this to their fucking employees?
A dickhole, like you said.
Right. He was also really volatile.
Those are the people you don't want to work for.
Not in the sense that he was a yeller. He didn't go around yelling at his employees, but he was like erratic. He would go, they would have events or so he was getting an interest in other, you know, from other investors, and they would do like these tours. He would take them on these tours and they would go into like the We Live space. And they would tell them before the tour was going to happen, like 10 minutes before the tour, hey, go into the space and just, you know, take your laptop and just hang out. And he would go in there, and then they also had like a bar in those spaces. So they would have a few drinks.
Nice.
And then he would start talking about how he envisioned the company. And then he kept expanding the vision. Like, oh, this could be this and this. And every time they would have a freaking tour like that, it would be like, it would just change everything. He was always changing the vision for the company. So, oh, you know, this, we're going to elevate the world. And then, oh, we're going to, you know, end world hunger. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Just shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like the people were starting to get sick of it.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Right.
I would have quit. Like, I can't work under these circumstances.
Oh, and then, so, you know, they would do, every Monday they had onboarding for new
hires,
new company. Yeah. New hires or, you know, new members.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they would be out in the main, I guess, wherever, hollering, we work, we work, we work. And meanwhile, people are in their office spaces.
I'm fucking working, you fucking knob. Yeah. Get out of here.
Trying to work. And they hear all this shouting. And he said, they were saying, you know, it was really a difficult place to work because of shit like that. So their turnover was high. He was like, oh, yeah, this is a place where people come and they want to stay. But that wasn't true.
That's a lie.
Also, he was creating a boiler room environment, talking about, you know, we need more members. And the way that the salespeople were working, it was like they would, if somebody was like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll consider renting a space. They would include that in their numbers that, you know, they had a sale for that day. Even though they didn't have any cash in hand, they didn't have a fucking credit card number on file. So it was just a promise, or not numbers. Even a promise. Yeah, because while they were making money, they were getting money from investors. They were burning through that money like it was fucking
Christmas.
Like it was kindling. They were trying to keep a fucking bonfire going. They were spending $100 million a week
on what?
Shit. He was buying buildings.
Oh,
he kept, you know, buying buildings. They're putting together these fucking events.
Okay.
They were just spending. They were just spending. Oh, also, they were spending money on his stuff. He had, at one point, he was saying that they needed to cut. He said cut revenue. I'm like, how do you cut revenue? That's like, you don't cut revenue. You cut costs.
Yeah, you cut the fat.
Right.
Cut the fat.
I believe they meant costs. So that meant that he had to fire. They were trying to fire 7% of their employees.
To cut costs by right. 7%.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm like, that's not exactly how that the ratios work. Like, you don't cut 7% of your workforce and then say that's 7% of your cost, because that's not how it works exactly. Yeah. But whatever.
Yeah, no, they were cutting 7% of their employees. And each person had to cut 7% of their team. So
they did a fat cut. They did a big cut.
Mm-hmm. So backers are trying to throw money at this company. Meanwhile, yeah, they're trying to cut some fucking jobs. They 7%. Fire one of the bitches. They get interest from a company called SoftBank, and it's owned by this Masa Son guy, who basically the fucking largest venture capital company in the world.
Wow.
In the fucking world.
That's impressive.
Eventually, like, he's like, you know, your company is overvalued and it's really replicable. Like, I could buy some buildings and rent out the space. Like, that's what it is.
I could do this myself, too.
But he is an investor in tech companies. And while WeWork is trying to, they, you know, they're trying to brand themselves as a tech company, they're still just a real estate company. Like, there's no doubt about that. You don't do tech, you do real estate. Masa-san basically convinces the world that they're a tech company because he invests in tech companies. And because...
So his seal of approval and investment kind of put them on the tech...
Yep, he throws $4 billion at them.
Jesus, throw $4 billion at me. Throw like $1 million at me.
He says, this $4 billion is for you to go global.
Ooh, nice.
You need to go global. You need to be the, you know, the best at this. You need to do this, and this company needs to be worth $100 billion in a year.
Wow.
So Adam's like, okay.
So get after it.
They start buying up fucking, you know, property all over the world. And they start WeWorks all over the world.
Because then obviously when they have all these office spaces and they're renting it, that's where their value is.
But that's, yes.
With the real estate that they own.
But they're burning through $100 million a fucking week.
I'm not talking about the money that they're spending. I'm just talking about like where their worth is coming from. Like
it's not coming from that, because the only reason that they're valued that high is because of the interest in the company.
Right. Like their stock, because are they a private company or public?
They're private.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
They're a private company.
Never mind. My bad.
So as they're expanding globally, they're doing it, and they're doing it so fast that they're trying to open these buildings, and on the days that the buildings are supposed to open, people are still painting, light fixtures aren't in, fucking air conditioning's not working, they're fucking up. They're fucking up.
Okay, they're fucking up.
Yeah, they're fucking up. Adam, meanwhile, he's on the cover of Forbes, and he brings Rebecca on as a founder. He basically just installs her as a founder and gives her the title of strategic thought partner. She brings her woo-woo shit to the company, and she has her spiritual advisor meet with the C-suite, you know, on the weekends, and she's just really fucking gross about it. She also decides that while, you know, they're doing all this, that public schools or private schools, I'm sorry, not public, because of course they would never go to public school. The private schools that are available to her children on the East Coast and on the West Coast aren't good enough. So she starts a company called We Grow. We Grow is based inside of the WeWork headquarters. They build basically like a fucking elementary school. I'm going to say it's like a daycare, because that's what I think it would look like. But they build a school inside the fucking WeWork headquarters. She does an interview in Goop with her cousin Gwenny and tells her that, you know, she didn't believe that the public school or the private schools that she was looking at were going to nurture her child's spirit and soul. So she decided she wanted to open one because they should be learning how to start a business at 5 years old.
What?
Yeah. She believes that elementary school children, kindergartners, should be already learning to start a business. They should be teaching them entrepreneurship.
Bye.
Uh-huh. At five.
At five.
The school has a $30,000 tuition fee. And the people that work in the fucking building, in the company, can't even fucking afford to buy spaghetti. But she's charging people $30,000 to have their kid come to this fucking bullshit-ass, fake-ass school that she decided to fucking just open up inside of WeWork. Meanwhile, Adam is saying that the company's profitable and, you know, it's such a great place to be. But their members are leaving left and right. They kept getting money for some reason.
Because people don't see... People on the outside don't see what's going on the culture on the inside. Like that glass door shit, that shit don't mean nothing. When people go online and talk all kinds of shit about the company, there's still investors that still want to like.
Well, I don't even think they were doing that because they weren't allowed to. Like they had a member happiness policy. And so one of the people that were, you know, renting space in there, they had. The guy that I told you about, the one that had this bot, it evaluated how many people were actually leaving WeWork, how many members it was retaining, because he was like, you know, we have a 100% retention rate or whatever. And it turned out that that wasn't true. And then it turned out that, you know, the employee satisfaction rate wasn't what they said it was. So he was working for WeWork as well as renting space in WeWork. And they had posted a blog post basically, you know, revealing this information. And the chief community officer or content officer or whatever it was came to him, and he was like, or she was like, you violated our membership happiness clause or member happiness policy. You have 10 minutes to leave. And they basically chucked them out. So yeah, they were really good about, you know, keeping a lid on the truth. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there, he's doing interviews all over the place. And when he's asked if the company is profitable, he's saying, well, we can choose when we want to be profitable or not, because we go on EBITDA, and EBITDA says that, you know, we have blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And so right now we're at a profitable state, and we don't see that changing in any time in the future. You know what EBITDA is, right?
EBITDA.
EBITDA. Earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. It's the measurement of how profitable a company actually is.
Okay.
So it's basically you take the revenue, and then you take all of the company's
costs.
Yeah, all of the company's
debts.
Debt, expenses, all of their expenses. And then you measure it against that and see how profitable they were. Well, what they were doing was, they had a thing that they were calling community adjusted EBITDA. So what they were doing was they were removing expenses like rent, design, marketing, and fees. And the only thing they kept was debt. And they would include those numbers, the rent, design, marketing, fees, they would include them in the revenue. So they made it seem like the company was making more than it was.
Yep.
So their 2019 statement, they claimed that they made $108 million, but actually they had lost $2.2 billion.
Stupid fucks.
Meanwhile, they're still expanding, and they're still spending that $100 million a week. But Adam's goal, he decided he wanted to get $20 billion more from SoftBank. So he goes to Masa Son, and he's like, you know, he's supposed to be doing this proposal to get him to give them $20 million more, because since he's already got $4 billion. He's already got $4 billion from them. So he's like, well, they're already giving us $4 billion. They're in for a penny, in for a pound. Might as well see if we can get another $20 billion out of them.
$20 billion.
Yes.
God.
And, you know, because they're still trying to do this expansion, this global expansion, and he's still spending money. Him and his wife, Rebecca, they were buying multi-billion-dollar houses. They bought, like, 3 houses on the East Coast. They bought a house in California. They bought a freaking fourplex on top of a apartment complex, knocked down the walls, and made themselves a gigantic penthouse. They freaking bought a Gulfstream jet. They were spending and spending and spending. SoftBank, Masa Son is like, no, I can't do it. Sorry.
Sorry, bruh. Bitch, I gave you $4 billion and you came at me and asked for 20. Be happy I didn't kill you.
Yeah, he's like, no, things are changing. I can't do it. Sorry. So the only way that they can, you know, conceivably get the money they need now is to go public. To go public, they have to fill out an S-1. And, you know, an S-1 is a form that you fill out. It tells the world about your company, and it's supposed to drum up interest, and it should state all of the facts about your company.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca wrote the S-1.
Okay.
And, of course, the first page has some woo-woo mumbo-jumbo bullshit. On the first page, we dedicate this to the idea of we, blabbity blabbity blue blue blue, yada yada, blah blah blah. I'm getting high on my own farts.
I'm getting high on my own farts.
So people are like, what the fuck is this?
this S1, somebody said it read like a novel written by a person who was tripping on shrooms.
How do you know?
And while they're supposed to be going public, Adam is doing bullshit. So he's fucking taking he took $700 million out of the company. But again, he's starting this IPO asking the public put money into this company. He buys a bunch of buildings and asks the company to lease them from him. He has this is in the S1, has the company paying $6 million to use the word we in the business name. All kinds of weird ass bullshit. There's a thing in there's a clause in there that says that if anything should happen to Adam, that Rebecca will choose his successor. Like, how does that work?
They're married, right?
Yeah, but that's not how
business works.
Especially public businesses.
No.
So yeah, everybody's like, what? Huh? The hell? But again, you know, he's having issues filming the fucking film for the roadshow. They had scheduled him to come in and shoot this video multiple times and he never showed up. During when they're supposed to be, you know, getting shit together and getting shit done to launch the IPO, his ass fucks off to the Maldives and goes surfing for fucking a month.
Must be nice.
Meanwhile, the company is running, you know, and you're supposed to be going public. But what are you doing? Why aren't you here? So the night before the day before the IPO is supposed to launch, he's having trouble shooting this video. Well, the next day, the morning of the IPO, the company's like, we can't do this. They pull out. News has already broken that they're supposed to be going public. People have been waiting for them to go public.
What year is this?
2019.
Okay.
People have been waiting for them to go public.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're like, no, we're not going to do it.
I think we got a little ahead of ourselves.
The company fucking basically goes from a valuation of $6 billion to damn near bankrupt in 6 weeks. Because they're not getting money anymore. Because they backed out.
So people aren't interested anymore.
Right. So then an article comes out about Adam. And there's a story in it of him going to Israel with a bunch of friends smoking weed on the plane. Then while they're in Israel, they didn't smoke all the weed. So somebody had tried to hide it in a cereal box. And the crew of the airplane on the way home to the U.S. found it. Kicks Adam off the plane.
Mid-air.
He wishes. So now he's got to find his own way home to the United States. That pisses off his investors.
I bet.
People don't want anything to do with him.
He's a fuckboy.
They're like, you're a fucking criminal. We don't want shit to do with you. The company's like, we're going to need you to step down.
We're going to need you to step down.
They pay him $1.7 billion.
To step down?
To step the fuck down.
Can I get paid to step down?
$1.7 billion.
That's a nice loss that you had there, my friend. That's a nice loss.
To walk away from this company.
I bet you he owes like way more than that, though.
Oh, no. See, at the end of the documentary, it showed that he was going to get like $500 million from SoftBank. And he was going to get another bunch of other money from like the loans and shit. He got an extension on the loans and stuff. I was just like, what the fuck? Like, this motherfucker is charmed.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his wife escape. They go hide in Tel Aviv for a while.
Mm-hmm.
WeWork, which is still functioning, barely, they lay off 6,000 employees.
Wow. That's a bow.
Mm-hmm.
That's nasty.
Yes. But they have, WeWork, the company WeWork, says that they plan to be profitable.
Again.
In 2021. Adam and Rebecca are back in New York starting some more bullshit. They're starting a school for their fucking kids. Something like live forever, learn forever.
I think it's bullshit when you're like, oh my God, the schools that I have options are trash. I'm just going to start my own school.
Yeah, it's gross.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yes. So that's the story of WeWork.
Fuck you.
And Adam Newman and Rebecca Paltrow Newman.
Well, they're dumb. I bought some roller skates yesterday.
Oh, cool. Where?
from?
Big Five.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I'm going to be out there like, oh, with my skates.
So I'm not supposed to do anything, like, strenuous. And it explains why, because, like, I got, like, winded really fast when I was skating. I was like, like, I couldn't fucking breathe. It's because of this fucking shit. It sucks. I'm like, I'm not supposed to do anything except fucking just chill for, like,
your situation.
Until my blood comes back.
Until I get the blood back. All right, well, I got some skates. I'm going to play with those. So I forgot to mention that. Sorry.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh, and by the way, if, like, anything should happen to me, like, I can't afford to lose any blood. I would literally die if I lost, like, any blood.
Girl, I'd give you my blood. You'd be okay. I'm a universal donor.
Type O blood.
I give you that O goodness.
That's just, it sucks.
I will save your life, okay?
Sick.
All right, so this documentary's on Hulu?
It's on Hulu.
Our family's back, unfortunately. Okay, so do you have a thumbs up for the week?
Oh, God. My thumbs up for the week is not losing any blood. I have another doctor's appointment this week, so we'll see what happens there. But I'm supposed to get a referral to a hematologist. Mm. What's your thumbs up for the week?
I got some skates. I'm going to hurt myself.
No. You got some elbow pads and knee pads?
No, my mom said you should get some elbow and knee pads. But I feel like I'm Gucci. So I'm going to try and skate this week. On our next episode, it will be my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So, big things popping. Mama's aging like a fine wine, baby. Aging like a fine wine.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, I'm just, you know, still planning for the reunion that's happening. People are still signing up for that. So that's gone down. I'm just getting more of the schematics in...
Logistics,
pretty much. But, I mean, other than that, we're here. It's April, and this year is flying by again.
It is. It really, really is.
All right, so that was a great episode. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being here. If you aren't already, subscribe, follow, come back. Make sure you get our episodes every week when they come out because they're hot fire. Connect with us on social at Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, Instagram or Facebook, Book of Lies Podcast, or visit our website, bookoflespodcast.com. And I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I am still on the verge of death.
But this is Book of Lies. The podcast.
It's Bold Bitches.